Talking it, episode 35.
Yeah. All right.
Not bad. Not bad. What are you doing?
I'm loading up my plate a little bit here.
Yeah, we got to do the introduction, talk a little bit, and go over some stuff.
We've started.
Is this it?
The audio looks good. We've started. Okay.
We're in the episode. Okay.
I'm going in for the food. Hey, it's a food challenge episode thing.
Yeah.
So I don't think we should say for liability purposes where this is from. It is a newer chicken place that has opened up in our region.
Mm-hmm.
And we like chicken. Who doesn't like fried chicken? We've discussed this several times on the Watching It podcast. But when we went to order through one of the sites, DoorDash or Grubhub type thing,
yeah.
We were astounded at the price.
Yes.
Because prices of food everywhere have gone through the roof.
Sure, this is known. High prices are one thing, but this was, when you first told me about this place, before we actually saw it on the site, I was like, no, he's fucking kidding. There's no way. Or you're exaggerating. You're like, yeah, you know, you get some chicken, and it was like, I'm not going to say the price because we're going to get into it. But you're like, it's about this much. And I'm like, okay, so they have expensive chicken, but it's not that much. And then we pulled up the site. I'm like, what's going on with this chicken? Yeah. What is this chicken?
So we got 10 pieces tender.
10 tenders.
And then we got regular fries and waffle fries. Yes. We're doing a little smorgasbord here.
Yes.
We should have gotten like some mashed potatoes and some.
They don't have that. It's a Korean restaurant.
Oh.
This is Korean fried chicken.
Gotcha. Donnell has the receipt here.
I have the receipt right here.
Waffle fries. This is like, I don't know, three servings, maybe two servings for a stout gentleman each. What does the waffle fries cost?
$10.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. These look just like some fries?
First of all, this smells amazing. We haven't eaten any of it.
The food smells fantastic. Like, I'm driving over here, and I'm just like, maybe I just go home. Maybe I don't go to Robert's place. I just spent the money. I just go home and enjoy it. Just be like, oh, sorry, Robert. They were closed, and I'm not feeling that great, so I'm going home. I'll see you tomorrow to record.
All right. The regular fries. What are the price of regular fries?
You save a little.
Standard order. Yeah, I would assume so. Yeah.
$8.
Though. $8. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's for the amount of fries you got there. I mean, in this day and age, that's not
maybe.
That's not astronomical. I mean, you're gonna like a large fry at like McDonald's or something. You're gonna pay like $5-6 now.
Yeah.
So this isn't out of control. This is a higher end fry, several steps above, just from looking at it, a McDonald's fry.
True.
Right?
True.
Right. Let's try a fry.
Okay, we're going to just
we're not going in for the chicken yet, okay? The regular fry.
Regular fry. No ketchup.
That's a good damn fry.
Mm-hmm. Really good seasoning.
I think. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's money worth a fry.
It's pretty good.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Those are try a waffle fry.
All right.
I do have ketchup, but we don't need it right now.
Not yet. No. We got to try the stuff raw first.
Yeah. That's a little better. Very slightly.
Mm-hmm. Different seasoning in it. Yeah, no.
I usually don't go for waffle fries.
I don't that often, but if you're going to do a
waffle
fry.
Usually they're too thin.
Yeah. Or like sometimes too thick and you don't get all like cooked all the way through. But if you're going to do a waffle fry, you do have to. You can't just waffle a fry and fry it. There got to be a different kind of seasoning on it. And definitely,
And these are like big waffle fries. These are like the whole potato, like the whole section.
Yeah.
They're like
half
an inch thick. Those are good.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good. Yep. Okay. The chicken. This is what really threw us off.
So before we get to the chicken, I want to tell you a little bit about going to this place.
Okay.
Because, you know, so I'll go down there. Because we're not doing, for the price of this stuff, there's no way we're doing delivery. Like, they're on delivery, and delivery, there's so much, like,
it's like, let's just double the price.
Yeah. I'm like, no way in hell I will pick this up. Thank you very much. So I go down there to pick it up. And you walk in, and this place, it just screams Gen Z-ish.
I bet it's very clean.
When I come in, the guy, like, there's just a guy with an iPad on his hands, like, oh, hi, how can I help you today?
Yeah, and the concierge.
And I'm just like, part of me is like, and that's why the chicken costs so much. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. It just was like,
How is parking in downtown Kirkland on a Saturday afternoon?
Very interesting. I drove around and found this weird random parking spot that it's literally, it's marked one spot. No other cars can park there. Only one car, and it's 2-hour parking. So I just slid in there. Nice. And like, it's a very strange air, where it's at. You're just like, I don't know why this is a parking spot. I guess they just threw it up.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, I didn't. It wasn't too bad
for people just DoorDash drivers and stuff. People just like you coming to pick up food and get out of there. Yeah. All right.
Let's talk about this chicken. We got 10 tenders.
10 tenders.
We got 10 tenders.
Yes. Nope. So for me, the cutoff is like $1.50 a tender.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So about $11. Yep. $11.50.
Yeah. 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 No.
Yeah.
I could see.
I guess
that.
That's more than that's about $15.
What? It'd be 15.
That's still a lot, man. A dollar a tender. Ten tenders. Okay, these are big tenders.
Yeah, they are big tenders.
These are big tenders.
But no, I will accept.
My mouth is watering.
I will accept $15 for 10 tenders. You know, I will accept.
But that's
that.
Not how much this costs.
Yeah, you're gonna need to double that, and then add $4.
Ridiculous.
$34 for 10 tenders. Yeah. And while these are big tenders,
$3.50 a tender.
We haven't eaten them yet, but I'm assuming they gotta be good, or else this place would go out of business. I still, even in my mind, even if these are phenomenal, my mind is like, doesn't matter.
This may be the only time we get these tenders.
Unless this like changes our life. If like
I met like a nice girl that I've been on like 4 or 5 dates and she's really into fried chicken tenders.
Yeah.
I'd be like, girl, I got a place.
Yeah.
We're going. Yeah.
Yeah. Or, I mean, like I said, the only way this becomes a norm for me is if when I
win
eat
the lottery.
This. When I eat this tender, if my third eye is opened and I am open to a whole new world I never knew of and had a greater understanding
if
of how the universe works, then I'd be like, okay, I get why we're spinning it. That's the only way.
If a screen pops up and says you have gained 20 experience, you have leveled up twice, please apply points, I'm like, okay.
Then I'd be like, now I get it. Honestly, they could charge more than $34 if that's what's going on. But all right.
All right. Let's do this. Tender. No dip.
They did give us some sauces that I am going to get into because I got to.
All right. Oh, it smells so good. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's so juicy.
Mm-hmm. And it's seasoned.
This is the juiciest goddamn tender I've ever had. The breading.
The breading and the seasoning. It's
amazing. Here's the crunch.
There's a little sweetness in it with a little spice, too.
It's so rich. 10 tenders is too many. This is so much. Goddamn.
Mmm. Mmm. Okay.
That's goddamn amazing.
I am still not saying that this price is appropriate.
A little spicy. A little too spicy for me.
I'm okay with this because this is a hint, but I'm still not saying this.
I'm not a big spice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a big heat guy.
But this is one, and I'm not even joking, this is one of the best tenders I've ever had.
I can't think of another tender I've had that's better than this.
Yeah.
Well, no, but maybe it's a nostalgia thing, but there's a place called Golden Chicken in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
They got that's my tender. If I go back down to Texas, I'm like, I got to find a Golden Chicken. A golden chick. Oh, that's good stuff. Jesus.
Yeah. Freaking A. No, this is a good tender.
But now it's in our heads. Now it's in our heads. We're going to want tenders.
Only. No, this
I'll
is.
I'll be like, I can't go to Azelle's.
No, this is, like, I will admit, this is phenomenal. But this is, as you said, maybe I'm going steady with a girl. She wants some chicken. Or special occasion once every year, once a year. Some this isn't. It's a Saturday. Let's go get some chicken. Like hanging out with the boys on a Saturday. Let's go get some chicken. No, F that.
I'm not. My life for some ranch, though, man. That would really like round out that heat.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of which, they did give us two different dips.
That looks more heat.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. I'm not. I'm a ranch guy. I'm from Texas.
I'm gonna try this first one.
Let me see the other one. What is that? That's got to be mayonnaise, right?
No, it's probably an aioli of some sort.
The hell is aioli?
It's an egg-based dip, but like a lot of things,
I guess this is Asian chicken.
If you get like if you get
I will try
calamari at a lot of restaurants, they'll have aioli with it. We used to make it at our restaurant. Okay, I'm trying this.
That's not too bad.
I have no idea what it is. Let me give it. Okay. It's a little liquidy.
Oh.
Dripped it on my jeans.
Good podcasting. Just listening to us eat food.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty good. It's basically a Thousand Island. It's sort of not really spicy, no.
Anyway, that's fantastic.
That is. I'm still $34. Still not appropriate.
Yeah, too much.
But
I mean, you get a lot.
You do get a lot. Those 10 tenders, like when I first opened it up.
Yeah, they are not skimping on the chicken in these tenders. And it's not like a tender where it's like overbreaded to make it look like there's more.
No.
No, it is all chicken with some really fantastic breading.
Yeah. Like when I first opened the box and I was like, man, they gave us more than 10 tenders. Yep. And I just was like, oh no, these are some big ass tenders.
And it was like 20, 30 minutes before between getting them and eating them. So it's like, I'm surprised that the breading is holding up.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there are a lot of tenders I get. But like by the time they get to me, that breading is soggy. It is not crispy anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, no, definitely a plus on the quality and flavor. But I mean, bring that price down, even just down to like take $10 off, $24. I could do $24 for this.
Anyway, this place is not paying us.
No,
this is not. Yeah, so we're not going to say it. But if you want to email us, watchingitpodcast@gmail.com, we will get, if you live in the Seattle region,
we will
give you the name of this chicken place if you have the funds.
Yeah. If you're working at Amazon or something, but been saving up for a while.
Man, downtown Kirkland was already expensive and now this.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, their Shake Shack is so good too, but it's so expensive. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this is episode 35 of the Watching It Podcast. I'm your host, Robert.
Not watching it.
Talking it podcast, brought to you by Watching It.
Yep, yep.
I'm your host, Robert, and with me is Donnell.
Yep.
And this is another food challenge.
Yes.
An expensive one,
It's been a while since we've done these. I have seen some things at the store that I'm like, I gotta buy some of these.
Man, yeah. we should have talked about that. Man, can we get some advertisers up in here? Okay, because that dip I got for the party,
party. Salsa?
Oh
yeah.
Man, let me tell you everybody, if you need some salsa ideas, Reddit Salsa Snobs is got you covered, man.
Yep, yep, that's the aioli. Not bad. That's pretty good.
Yep. I wish I'd gotten some ranch. I got mail.
You got mail.
It's very odd occurrence for me.
Yeah,
I'm very. I don't know what algorithm I figured out, but I get maybe like one piece of mail every 6 months.
Like,
outside of like when like tax season comes and I'm getting like all the tax documents sent to me, which most of those don't come in mail anymore. I download them through, websites and stuff. Yeah. But I got a piece of mail, but like hand addressed, stamped piece of mail. Look at the calligraphy on this.
That
like,
is something. There.
I didn't even think, it didn't even consider to me. Like, I've always been like, oh, you're supposed to like write the address and name and stuff like in the center. Like, this is like the whole envelope like fancy cursive and stuff. It is unexpected what this was. I was not expecting this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you remember the formation of the Cape Crew?
I do remember the formation of the Cape Crew.
And then that evening we went to a nightclub. That I am a member of. It is a private nightclub.
Yep.
I joined that nightclub 15 years ago, I want to say.
Okay.
And if you recall, when we went in, they were like, we don't know you. I'm like, I'm a member. They're like, where's your card? And I'm like, I don't have a card. And they pulled out this dusty tome that they opened up and found my name. And they're like, okay, you can come in with your guest. 15 years I've been with this club. Yep. Finally sent me my membership card.
Oh snap!
I'm like, I don't know if I'm ever. I've got a number. It's like it's initialed. It's I gotta get this laminated, man. Like this is.
When we go into the club, Robert.
I'm down. I'm down whenever. I'm gonna walk in. I am a member of the elite at this club now because it has been a long, trending joke at this particular club that no one ever gets their ID card. And they're just like, everyone's like, I'm still waiting for them to send it to me.
Yeah.
Just like, geez, the backlog. Like,
I mean, I just like the tome still, you know, I mean, the card. Yeah.
It was a big, giant, dusty
but I just
tome.
Like the, you know, the for the type of club this was, the tome just seemed appropriate.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It seemed like, why are we doing ID cards at all?
Super goth club. Yeah. Enforced dress code. Yeah. Like,
And I'm just like. Yeah, I was like, the tone was just, it seemed like the practical way to do it. Maybe not practical, but the what this club needed was a tone.
So we should talk a little bit about we talked about the formation of the Cape Crew.
Not on the podcast.
So me and Donnell, we had a after work board game group, which we would reserve a conference room and let a couple of people at the company at we worked for.
Yeah, we would.
We you know, as soon as work was out, we'd all gather and play a couple of board games for an hour or two, and then you know, go about our business. And
maybe order some pizza.
There was a work party coming up. This is pre-COVID. There was a work party coming up. And I don't remember who
said it. No one does.
All I know is that somebody said, we should wear capes.
Yes.
And I said, we should absolutely wear capes.
Yep.
And then it was a Mexican standoff for several weeks of like, everybody's bringing a cape, right? I don't want to be the only person who brings a cape.
We getting capes? Everyone, you getting capes? Yeah, I'm getting a cape. Yeah. Are you sure? Yeah, going back and forth. But I still, one of my favorite memories from the formation of the Cape Crew was once we had gotten past the Mexican standoff. We weren't sure. We had all acquired capes.
Up until the moment we met the... Because we had somebody come, you came over to my place, and another member came over to my place, and we all had our case. I'm like, okay, well, there's at least three of us.
Yeah,
we're good. If the other ones don't do it, we're not alone in this.
Yeah, but still, we'd got past the point of, are we getting capes? To everyone had a cape. Yeah. We weren't sure.
We were showing off our capes at work.
Two of our members. One of them happened to be our receptionist. And we were up there, and I just remember receptionist answered to HR, you know, picking order. Yeah. I remember they like, ooh, let me show you my cape. And they pulled out their capes, and we're looking at them in the front at the front desk. And her boss comes in.
No, it was in the conference room behind the front desk.
Yeah.
And then the HR.
Her boss comes in, HR manager comes in, and he's all like, oh, what you got there? Like, oh, we got some capes. Like, oh, you guys aren't doing the weird like Harry Potter stuff holiday party.
He was like, I don't want to see no Harry Potter shit. at the holiday party, and like I'm just like, we this is like, not Harry Potter.
Yeah, and we were like, we're not doing that. Don't worry,
this is hobbits. This
and
is
it
elves.
Definitely, it definitely, definitely had us all like, are we gonna get in trouble for this? What's going to happen?
Yeah,
if we show up in capes.
So yeah, there's two awesome. Well, there's a bunch of awesome stuff about that night. But first, it was an awesome like location, dude. The ballroom they got was gigantic and awesome, but you know, this whole hotel thing. But first, there were a lot of groups that had different themes going on.
Yeah,
that were like they had organized like wearing the same T-shirt or something. I'm like, we were the most awesomeness.
Oh,
we
had 100%.
There were people who were like, I didn't know we were supposed to wear capes. Yeah, and I'm like, no, not anymore. We gotta be on the in group. We gotta be part of the Cape Crew.
You know? This is not just free for everyone.
But because we were friends, so one of the members is one of the you know front desk person.
Yeah.
And the other one is another good friend of ours was the office manager who was in charge of planning the party. We got the center table.
Yeah, front center.
Front center, because it was like a whole bunch of tables, but there was a big podium and stuff because they were doing prizes and speeches and all this stuff, you know, corporate work party kind of thing.
Yeah.
So where the CEO and everybody should have been sitting, we were sitting right in the middle.
Like, decked out in capes.
What were they, like eight of us or something?
I mean, so let's see. Me, you, man, that's five, six. And then there were seven of us. We had the tag along who joined the Cape Crew
there
late.
There was an odd man
and
out.
And was never officially a part of the Cape Crew. I'm just going to say it.
I don't know. He wasn't part of the core group.
We had arranged and planned
it. He wasn't in the board game thing.
And then he was like, what you guys doing? You wearing a cape? And like, I went in. I'm just like, yeah. I just felt like his membership was never.
Whoever was wearing a
the board had never signed off on him being in the Cape Crew.
He was in the right place at the right time
and had a cape.
Still a member of the Cape Crew.
All right,
don't even know his name.
No, I think I feel like his name was Mike something.
But it was just like it was so funny that just like we're just in the center in our capes. Like they're just like, who are these people? Like,
hey, I've kept the Cape Crew alive. One is that we still exist, of course.
We have an event
coming up.
Do we? Oh, yes, we do. Yes, we do.
And I'm thinking because of what I'm probably wearing to this event, I'm thinking I'm going to need a new cape, Robert. I'm going to need a new cape because what I'm wearing, I'm like the purple cape. Yeah, I have rocking.
My cape is luxurious and perfect, and I can't see myself having another cape, and I don't know if I'd ever get another one of the quality that I have.
Oh, no. No.
I've had a cape for a very long time. I bought mine when I was
you were the only
17
one.
Or 18. And in my hometown, Denton, Texas, there was a lot of theater stuff going on. Mm-hmm. And there was a legit high-quality theater costume rental place.
Not like
you're going to get a plastic mask with a string that holds it on.
No, this is like
you're
going to
get
deal.
Something made like legit.
Yeah.
And
if you order a mask, it's like we'll give it to you in 3 weeks.
Yeah. And you could rent or you could buy. And I bought a cape. It was like $800 or something at the time. And this was 20 more plus years ago.
Yeah.
So I was, you know, before inflation. It was a lot. Yeah. Like if you bought something from the store, it was expensive.
Oh, yeah, it's high quality.
But I've had it this whole time and, you know, kept it, you know, safe and well stored and stuff. And it's like
you were the only one in the cape crew who had their cape to begin with.
Yeah. Well, one person made theirs, which was awesome. It was like 10 feet long or 15 feet long, trailed behind her, just massive and stuff. But everybody's cape was awesome, and it fit their outfit and their personality perfectly.
I went all out. I got a purple cape, so I had this purple and pink bow tie with purple and pink suspenders. I had purple rocking it, man. I was looking good.
That's good stuff.
But I've worn my I at my previous company, the holiday party they had there. I'm like maybe a solo venture, but the cape crew rolls. I rolled into my holiday party with a cape. Won best dressed that night.
Nice.
You know, and everyone's like, ah, man. He's like, oh, capes. You don't see those. Like, no, you don't.
That's what the cape crew is all about.
I feel like you should see
Seinfeld
capes.
Episode.
I feel like you should see capes. Why'd we stop wearing capes, folks? So the cape crew, that's how we do.
My other favorite moment is when we were, because it was after party time.
Yep.
And we decided, I'm like, oh, I'm a member of this private club, but I can bring y'all in as guests if y'all want to come. And so we worked our way, up the hill through Seattle. To get there. And I love as we were getting closer and our other party member. It sounds like we're on a crusade here. Like
oh yeah,
a party member.
It was a quest that night, a trek to get across town.
Yeah, because her cape was like 15 feet long. She was just carrying it.
Yeah,
because she's like, I can't wear it all the time. You know, and like especially walking the dirty streets of Seattle sometimes. And then we got closer, and I'm like, put on your cape. We're gonna go down this alleyway, and it was like this. This dark alley, like it's just like into a gloomy depths, right? Because it's just like us, like we had to help her down because she had high heels on.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I mean, it's like a 45 degree, you know, incline to get down. And Donnell's just like, you have to give us more information than that. I'm just like, put on the cape. We're going into an alley. And it's a dark, scary alley that makes no sense why you would go down it.
Yeah.
The club is at the bottom of this
incline.
In an alley with a nondescript door.
Yep.
There is nothing that, like, from the street, you look at this and go, there is a nightclub there.
Yeah, exactly.
But that was one of the great Donnell lines. I'm like, you got to tell us more than that. It's like, I don't want to go to a second location with you.
Exactly.
Ah, good times. Yeah. Oh, man. See, we gotta. Well, I don't want to say it on. Does the person, the one of the main headliners of the event that we will be attending in Cape Crew form later, listen to the show?
No.
Because I think we need to get them capes.
Ooh.
And we need to induct them.
I mean, we have been talking about
the cape because they have been voted in, but they have not been told.
Are we talking about before the event, or are we talking about? Like we get them capes.
Is it too awkward to give them at the event?
No, because if it was anybody else, maybe. But because of who it is, no, it's not in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah,
because
they're gonna be making their way around, and where the cape crew is gonna be sitting at their own table, right? Because there's not assigned seating.
Yeah,
and even if there was, we already told them to put us at the same table, and it's like we're gonna be the cape crew there, and then they're gonna come around, and we're gonna be like. Hey.
Yeah.
Induction time.
We voted on this a year ago. Yeah.
We just hadn't told you yet.
We just hadn't made it official. But I mean, because definitely we've lost some members to the Cape Crew, unfortunately.
We haven't lost members. They have traveled elsewhere. There are other adventures at the moment.
Exactly.
We may see them one day.
Maybe. Yeah. It would be nice. Have a Cape Crew reunion one of these days. That'd be nice.
There'd need to be more. Members to have a reunion.
Yeah. Well, that's why we gotta add these next two.
And yeah, we gotta.
We'll start looking for new.
Expand.
We'll start looking
the operation.
For new members. Yes, Cape Crew. Love the Cape Crew. Anyways, got a little bit of update, Robert.
Oh,
got a little bit of update. I don't know
on what subject.
Well, if you remember, I told you about the ketchup and mustard cars at my job. The red Kia Soul and the yellow.
Oh yes.
That
yes.
Always parked
because there was
next
like a love
other.
Story you were
yeah.
putting together.
Yeah. They always parked next to each other for. Like I said, I've been in the company now for a year and a half, about, and for I'd say 80% of that time. They were always parked next to each other. And then recently, not recently, but a few months ago, that stopped. And like I said, in my mind, I was just like, something happened. In my mind, this was a couple that fell in love over their ketchup and mustard looking cars and parked. But maybe they also could have been best friends. I don't know. But something in that relationship happened because they were not parking.
Yeah.
Well, the update I have, and it's
mayonnaise
sad.
Got involved, you know.
Yeah, maybe mayonnaise got invited, and he shouldn't have been. You know, you keep the mayonnaise out of your thing. Well, now,
and you've never seen the people.
No, never seen who gets in these cars. Never seen them at once. And now that's the update is I'll never get to see. Their cars aren't there anymore. Anywhere in the garage,
the
like
scandal.
not just parking together. So something happened, and then they both left the companies they are working for.
Oh.
And I'm just like. I need closure.
Yeah.
Like, I need to know, did you work it out? Like, I feel like I wanted them to work it out, Robert.
No.
I really...
No. Definitely ketchup murdered mustard.
And is on the run? You think ketchup is on the run?
Well, ketchup moved on.
Mm.
But was still, like, heartbroken.
Yeah.
And then murdered.
And then did,
mustard.
Yeah.
With a candlestick in the library.
Yeah, 100%. I was just noticing. I was driving. Like, I don't see any of their cars. Yeah. And then
I have no idea how to play Clue. I used to play Clue. I just know that you have cards in a little pocket thing, and then you're supposed to guess who killed.
Who killed somebody?
Who was murdered? Who the murderer was, and with what device and in what
room? Yeah.
I have no idea how the actual game is played. That you would determine that information.
You wander around the board, and you go in different rooms, and like there's ways to somehow get clues. It's been like I played it when I was a kid, and I liked it a lot, but I haven't played it since. Maybe I'll pick up Clue. Maybe make that a game night.
Oh, yeah. Anybody know the rules? Nope. Okay, let me read the rules. Every time you do a board game thing, or anybody really, it's just like, oh, let's bust out this game, and let me pull out the tome of rules and learn how to play.
That's my biggest thing, is I'm just like, and like, because I was last weekend, had some friends in town who, they do board games. And I saw like the biggest issue with the board games is... Or when I'm getting board games, like I rate board games on a lot of things, you know, fun factor, of course, and how easy it is to clean up and set up, like especially like how organized the box is put together.
Yeah,
you know, sometimes you just get a fucking box and they're like, here you go, and like, but and that's really low. But I've also had some boxes where like they have dividers, they give you baggies and stuff. I'm like, this is a nice box, and that raises my opinion of the game.
Yeah,
but another thing is also like,
I think. Because I think the board game makers know that people who care, there is a company out there that makes specially designed wooden high quality boxes with separators and everything for the game. And it's just like the board game companies are like, look, we're just going to throw this stuff in a box. If the person really cares, they're going to go to this company and spend $100 on the
like I said,
special
to
box.
Me, that's a cop out. Because the thing is, it's true. That is true. That is an option, and that's option. But also, like, I've looked up those things. Those cost a little bit of money.
Yeah.
So do the board games.
Not a little bit, a lot.
And, you know, so my thing is like, okay, yeah, maybe that is my end game, is I'm going to get a custom box. But I mean, board games, you've seen, they can get up to $100, even $200.
Yeah.
So I just dropped $150 on your game. They want $200 for the box. It's going to be a bit before I get that box.
Yeah.
So while I don't have the box, give me some fucking dividers.
Yeah.
That's a cop out in my opinion.
Yeah. No, there was a guy I used to go play board games at his house, and he had tons of games. Some of them were like the $100 or $200 games.
Yeah.
Every game he had had the custom box and sleeves for all the cards.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I'm like, what do you do for a living, man? Like, where's all this money coming
from? Where's the money at?
Like,
yeah.
You know, speaking of board game rules,
mm-hmm.
I just recently learned something I did not know. And I ask you this, Donnell. Do you know how to play the game of hopscotch?
No. Never knew.
It's like one of the simplest games in the world. I just learned this like the last couple of weeks.
That you throw,
there is a rock.
And there's something. Yeah. You do somebody jump in.
Posted a thing on Reddit that said, like, I walk up to a hopscotch thing and I have no idea what's going on there, but somebody explained the rules.
Man.
The rules of hopscotch, very simple.
Okay.
You take a rock
and
you try and throw two people to play or plus.
Right.
You know, but at least two people. I guess you could play alone, but it's kind of sad.
It's just sad. Yeah, it's just sad.
But you have a rock.
Right.
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 And you try and throw it in the first square because they're numbered.
Right.
Right. If you miss, skip your turn. Goes to the next person.
Okay.
If you get it in the thing, you have to hop all the way to the end one-legged.
Right.
You can only put one foot in each square. Now, hopscotch has, like, there's a certain point where there's two squares.
Yeah.
So that because it's little kids, so you can
put one
foot in each square.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Because you can only have,
I remember that.
You get to the end, and then you hop back and pick up your rock on the way.
Okay.
Right? And then the next person goes. And then when it's your turn again, if you had completed the scenario, you go for two, and it's whoever can complete all the way to the end wins.
Nice.
Stupid game.
Nothing like being in your 40s and just learning how to play hopscotch. Yeah.
Who came up with hopscotch?
You wanna set up a board outside, Robert? Me and you do a route?
I'm still spry enough to play a game of hopscotch. But yeah, who came up with that?
I mean, lots
and then just like
childhood games were always just inane, and it's got to be something simple.
I mean, all you need is a rock and a piece of chalk.
Yep, exactly. It's got to be something simple and quick that you can play in the 30 to 45 minutes you got in recess. Is recess still a thing? Like, in schools? Okay,
young. First five grades, because I think they folded sixth grade into middle school.
Yeah,
when I was growing up, it was elementary was 1 through 6.
Yep.
And then you had a kindergarten, right? And then you had middle school was 7 and 8.
Yep.
And then high school was 9 through 12 or whatever.
Or if you were in one of those weird places that forsook middle school for junior high, you had 7, 8, and 9 for whatever reason, and then high school was 10, 11, 12.
When my brother went to school, it was 7, 8, and 9. So like they were just changing that over.
Yeah,
and that's such a middle school is an odd thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna put two grades together. Yeah,
well, three now. But it's still weird. Why? Like,
I
don't know.
I also don't understand why there's the separation.
Nobody knows.
I guess because you can't put everybody in one place because it's just like this massive building. But.
And then also like, and you need different, what is it? Just different structure. I just think about when you're a teenager, the last thing you want to do is hang around young kids. You're like, I don't want that. You
know? I mean, I guess it's better than what it used to be, which was like, don't go to school, you just go straight to the mine when you can. Yeah. You have the dexterity to pick up a rock, or it's like, oh, here's one room classroom where like 12 kids are gonna learn how to read and write, do some basic math, and then by the time you're like 12, it's like, okay, well, you're either gonna go to college, or you're gonna get to work at the factory,
or
in the fields, right?
Different times. Yeah. Oh man. So circling back, because I wanted to say this, all the way back to the board games, I'm going to say one of the things for me is how thick is the rule book? Because I just know if I get a group of people together, the thicker rule book I pull out of the box, the less likely we're going to get to play that game. Like if we're all sitting at a table, and like sometimes it's great, you pull out a rule book that's literally like just one piece of paper back front and back, and you're like, oh, this game's going. But you pull out a thick rule book, you're like, even if you tell everybody you've played the game before and you already know the rules, you're just pulling it. They just see that and they're like, he's pulling out a novel.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want
to
play this.
Not to mention Charterstone, where the rules changed every couple of hours. Like that was ridiculous.
Charterstone was great for coming back. You know, we were playing it, you know, months apart sometimes. Being like, so wait, what happened? And we're just like trying to, like, Charterstone needs, I mean, It sounds dumb, but you need a previously on when you play Charter Stone. Yeah, just a previously on Charter
Stone. Well, I mean, that gives you a little bit
of a breakdown of what you did and what everybody's powers
that's
were.
That's what one of the players was doing. He was taking a picture of the board after every session because it took 12 sessions to play. Well, there's also Above and Below, which I don't know if you played that yet.
No,
but
every time
the
rule
book is gigantic. There's two books. There's one that's like a scenario guide, and then there's the main rule book is really a lot. Mm-hmm. But it's really just a reference gauge for all the symbols and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like the rules are very simple and whatnot. But I think if someone is bringing a board game that no one else has played to the table, they need to have already read and understood the rules.
I try to do that if I'm going.
And then I don't think that there should be a recitation of the rules. Like what is normally done, you just read the rules out and like explain it to everybody before you play. I think you just dive in, set up the board, and just be like, we're going to, because you always do a trial round and then reset the game.
Yeah.
So it's really just, okay, I'm going to talk everybody through a round. We're just going to go around. Everybody's going to do their turn and then start. And it's like, because people need to be engaged because every 100%. Time it's always party atmosphere.
Yeah.
Somebody's trying to read the rules and like explain how everything's gonna work, but everyone's just kind of having side conversations, and I'm messing with the music and all this. Yeah, it's
getting food and good stuff. Good stuff. All right, well, we're gonna take a quick break here and we'll get back. Do you have a news story?
I have no news story.
I thought you said you had a news story, but okay.
I'll check my notes, but I don't think I have a news story. I had a news story last time.
Okay, maybe I'm just remembering from last time. Maybe that's it. Yeah, that's probably it. Well, anyways, folks, we're going to take ourselves a brief break. And when we get back, I got some news.
All right, what do you got for us, Donnell?
Got us a couple stories, couple headlines that I think are just interesting. But we're going to start with a little news from the tech world, Robert. A little news from the tech world. We're both in tech, you know?
Yep.
That's our job. That's what
we
do.
Well, I'm not really in tech.
Okay, yeah.
We just work in IT.
Hey, it's being in tech, to that degree. Someone needs to keep the current tech working while other people make new tech, okay? Anyways, so here's this headline. This is coming from IGN. And here's the headline, and I'm just... All right, here we go. First human patient to receive a Neuralink brain implant used it to stay up all night playing Civilization 6.
So like the Elon Musk Neuralink thing?
The Elon Musk.
The thing that's killing a bunch of monkeys?
Yes.
We put it in a person?
Yeah. Oh, he announced a little... So the human has finally been revealed, of course, by this article and other stuff. But no. Yeah, they announced earlier this year that they had successfully put it in a human. And it came to the shock of everybody because, like you just said, it was only being used on monkeys. It had some issues with monkeys. And they at no point said, which I guess, you know, is one of those better to ask forgiveness or beg for forgiveness and ask permission. They just went ahead and like they found a volunteer and they just went ahead and did it. And then Elon was like, we did it. And he's healing up. We're not telling you who he is, though. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, because that's how things are done.
Yeah.
Like, you just go ahead and do it.
The first human patient implanted with a brain chip from Neuralink appears to have fully recovered.
Mm-hmm,
and what was fully recovered? Was he not? Recovered?
Yeah. I mean,
and is able to control a computer mouse using their thoughts. Okay, that's a lot.
Yes.
That's something.
Yes.
I don't know anything about Neuralink other than it's supposed to somehow upload you to a computer.
Yeah. And for me, it's 100% a never, not, you couldn't pay me enough money to have it. I look at all of our smart devices and AI and how easily fallible. I'm like, oh, so you want me to put that in my brain? Like, what's gonna, like, this guy, it fully recovered. I'm like, what's gonna happen when someone hacks that chip? Oh, it has security. Sure, it does.
Yeah.
But what if he gets a virus? What the fuck does that do to you?
Can it send data the other way?
Yeah. I'm just like, no, this is not.
If they tap me, if they reach out to me, like, hey, we would like to be you be a test subject for Neuralink, you know, one of the first, I'm gonna be like, does Elon have it?
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Why does Elon not have it?
Him first. When he's comfortable, when the richest man in the world or whatever is comfortable having it implanted in him, that's when I'll get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even then,
unless they're gonna pay me an obscene amount
of money. Elon is a psychopath. So in my opinion, just because he's comfortable, how much having this, it put
what's
in
this
his
guy's
head,
compensation for being the first Neuralink?
I don't know
human.
If they say that, but so I'm gonna read a little bit from the article. So,
I mean, I'm sure that's
like
sure
I said
that's
earlier this year, they announced that they're they had a successful placement. A little bit later, Elon went on Twitter and said that the patient was healing up just fine. And then finally, on March 20th, Neuralink posted on its own update on X. Fucking Twitter, in the form of a 9-minute live stream in which 29-year-old patient, implant recipient, Noland Arbog, I'm going with Arbog, used the technology to play a digital version of chess while discussing how living with the experimental aid had changed his life. It was like using the force on the cursor. I could get it to move wherever I wanted, just stare somewhere on the screen and it would move there where I wanted it to, which was a wild experience, explained Arbog. The 29-year-old complete quadriplegic shared that he had lost sensation and suffered
paralysis.
Thank you. From below the shoulders after sustaining a spinal injury during a diving accident 8 years ago, and had felt compelled to volunteer for the trial out of an urge to be part of something that he felt could change the world.
Makes sense.
Yes, makes sense.
I'm not saying I wouldn't use it to play video games. Yeah. Quadriplegic.
Yeah.
Like you can't do anything.
You can't really do much.
And you're like, I'd really like to get into this video game.
Now
stuff.
You can surf and the web like, and do all the things.
So that's huge. That's huge. That's fantastic.
It's huge. It's
scary.
It's great and all, but it's one of those things like, and this is what I've said about a lot of things with tech. Like, cause like I talk down about self-driving cars, about AI, about smart houses all the time. But it's not because I don't want those things. It's that we are implementing them before we have figured out all the kinks. And that's how I feel about this Neuralink thing is almost like,
I mean, we're still in the dark ages to a degree. And a lot of scientific and especially medical advancements have happened under cowboy circumstances.
True.
For sure.
But here's my thing is most of the time it's still like, and I guess you could say this is happening with Neuralink, so I won't put in the same category as the other stuff, but like the stuff with like smart homes. Yeah, there's still a lot of quirks and issues, but it's already being given out to people.
Yeah.
Same with like Tesla self-driving cars. You're literally a beta tester for them. Like, but that thing's on the fucking road.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Do I believe self-driving cars could...
It's not supposed to be. You're not supposed to use
But that self-driving cars could be a thing? Sure, eventually. But I don't want you testing it in my neighborhood.
Yeah,
like, let's get that sorted out and then maybe.
Well, it's so like the people... There was somebody who just like posted about their washing machine was using like 3 gigabytes of data a week or something. It's because somebody had hacked it and put a Bitcoin miner on it.
Yeah, exactly.
On their washing machine.
Like, we haven't...
You know, I've got a smart TV, never hooked it up to the internet.
Yeah.
Never gonna.
Same with mine. Mine is also just because I'm like, why would I? I don't need it.
Yeah. The second I do that, it's gonna download the software update that gives me advertisements. Like, no way. It's working fine as it is. I don't need software updates.
Yeah, you need to update your firmware. I'm just trying to watch TV. Update your firmware. Why?
You know what I'm surprised never became a thing? There was a guy, I want to say in the 50s, but maybe somewhere in there, where he, and this is dubious, this is bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
He got some mental patients and cut into their skull and put an implant in there that would electrically stimulate the pleasure centers of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a button they could press.
Right.
He just wanted to see what would happen.
Yeah.
And these people just would just push the button.
Oh, yeah.
Just that's all their whole life would
it's
be just
like
push the button.
It's way more than any drug.
And and they wouldn't eat. They would just push the button. And I'm just like, how did that not become a thing people just did?
Yeah.
Why is that? That was, 70 years ago at least, right? And we can't figure out that tech. Why is this Neuralink not doing this? Like, I'm surprised that is just not something that ever became a thing that people did, like, illicitly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's more than any drug, man. It's more than if you could just turn on.
Yeah.
That's the thing. We're getting in the weird territory, but that's the thing about almost everything we experience in life. Like, pain doesn't exist. It's how your mind interprets the signals that come from your nerves. Overall, pain doesn't exist. Neither does, like you said, pleasure. Neither does all that stuff. So if you could control that shit, you could push through things. Like, I mean, they talk about people who mentally can do it, but like who you could push through pains that you could continue to do. Or you could just, like you said, just be at home, just sitting at home, having the best time of your life when nothing's happening. Just like, this is fantastic. Like,
there's a good book series by Larry Niven, the Ringworld series.
Yeah.
Which I think they're working on a show or movie series for that. And oh boy, that's a good one. That's one of the greats. But the guy, one of the main characters in like the second book or something, he basically has a neural implant that like just sends pleasure to his brain.
Yeah.
And he just gets high all day. But he has like a setting on it that's like he can only use it for like 10 hours and then it locks him out for like a day. Because he's just like, otherwise, this is all I would do and I would just wither away and die.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it comes in handy later because he like gets into some stuff and there's like a chemical pheromone thing that an alien's putting out that's like drawing him in, but because he's spent so much time like resisting this pleasure electrode, he's able to resist this pleasure pheromone that's trying to drag him in. He's like, no one else could have, you know, except for a junkie like me could have ignored the draw of this thing. So it's an interesting sci-fi thought. I love sci-fi. I love so sci-fi. Good. Sci-fi's so the things it explores. So good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's freaking great. All right, here's the next.
Read 3 Body Problem. The remembrance of
you
of,
haven't read it, Robert.
It's all. Look,
I'm just kidding. Look, I know.
No, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that because what does it mean to? What am I going to say? Listen to it.
Yeah.
Listen to
it. You know, I mean, I'm the same way too. I always say what I.
Most of the people, maybe not currently, but for several thousand years.
Stories were told.
The way people read books or experienced
word
these
of mouth,
stories
everything
were
came.
Someone reading it to them because they didn't know how to read.
Or even before, like before, you know, written languages, that's how our history and stories were passed down. Yep. It's just straight up. There was a person who just knew it all and like, hey, I'm going to tell you about some stuff. So yeah, no, I get it. We're just returning to the original way we were meant to.
That's
hear
right.
Stories.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, Robert. Here is our next one, and this one is weird. All right, a woman
weirder than a brain implant controlling a mouse from a paralyzed guy. I mean, that's like Star Trek: The Next Generation, where like the second or third episode, Picard turns into an energy being that experiences the entire universe in its entirety. Like some kind of weird god creature.
Yeah.
And then he gets reconstituted. And then like for the next 7 seasons, every now and then he'll be like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever experienced. I'm like, lies, sir. Lies. Second episode, you experienced the craziest thing that could possibly happen to a human being. Everything that happens to you after that point, even getting like probed into a life where you spend 70 years and learning the flute,
becoming a Borg,
there is nothing
all that stuff
that will ever compare to being turned into an energy being that experiences all the universe at once. Weirdness has happened to
there
you.
There is no,
it's ridiculous. Anyway, go on.
All right, so here's our headline: a woman purchased a vacant Hawaiian lot for $22,000.
Boy, that's cheap.
She was surprised.
In Hawaii. Okay, well, there's a reason.
She was surprised to see a $500,000 home built on it by mistake.
Oh, I think I saw something about this. Yeah.
So
they're trying to get her to pay for it.
Yeah. So here we go. Because that's what. So a woman who purchased a vacant lot in Hawaii was surprised to find a $500,000 home built on the property.
And it was supposed to be like on the next property over or something.
Yeah. She is now mired in legal wrangling over the mix-up. Ann Reynolds purchased a 1-acre lot in Hawaiian Paradise Park, a subdivision of Big Island Puma District, in 2018 for $22,500.
Where was I didn't know that was like a thing. I would have. I had $22,000 in 2018.
Yeah.
If I had known that I could go to Hawaii and buy a lot.
Yeah.
I gotta look. Yeah. I gotta look this up.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine. Oh, there would be a lot outside of some swamp where you can't develop it. Like, in Hawaii, that's less than $1 million.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, probably not now. I imagine you're not purchasing a $22,000 lot anymore.
That's insanity. But anyway, go on.
So she was in California during the pandemic, waiting for the right time to use it, when she got a call from a real estate broker informing her that the house on her property had been sold, which I think got to be the weirdest thing. We're just like at home, like, hey, is this Ann? And you're like, yeah. So just good news. We just sold the house. And you're like, what house? You're like, I live in a, you sold my house and I'm living, like, what is going on?
Yeah.
But anyways. Well,
that raises questions. Like, how did they have her information?
I mean, there's records of who owns property, so they probably can't, like,
yeah, but the real estate broker called the wrong person. Like,
no, the real estate. So here's the thing is that I see how it happened easily is, so she owns the land.
Yeah,
the construction crew comes in and builds houses on the property that they own, but they build it on hers. The real estate broker doesn't work for the construction company. He comes in afterwards. They hire him to sell the house. So he comes in, he looks up the house. They're like, oh, let's look up the property owner. Oh, it's Ann Reynolds. Because I'm assuming the construction company never looked up or paid attention.
Yeah.
But he did.
I would think that, like, the broker would have contacted the construction company to be like, we sold the house that you just built.
I mean, it's on her property.
But anyway, go on.
But anyways,
look, this is a calamity already.
So, local developer Keanu Development Partnership hired Pete. So this is where it goes down the phone chain, because that's the developer. But they hired PJ Construction to build about a dozen homes on property developed in the subdivision. But the company built one on Reynolds' lot also. Reynolds, along with the construction company, the architect, and others, are now being sued by the developer.
Yep.
There's a lot of fingers being pointed between the developer, the contractors, and their subcontractors. It says Reynolds' attorney. Reynolds rejected the developer's offer for a neighboring lot of equal size and value, according to court documents.
Yep.
Like, yeah, you stuff. It would be
I would be looking at this and thinking dollar signs. I'm like, I'm not going to
come up later.
Just the adjacent lot. I'm like, this is. Yeah. Somebody's going to pay me some money or I'm getting a free house. Yeah.
So it would set a dangerous precedent if you could go to someone else's land and build anything you want and then just get sue the individual for the value of it. That's true. But anyway, so then we get to PJ Construction's lawyer, and I'm just like, shut your fucking mouth. Because he says, my client believes he's trying to exploit PJ Construction's mistake in order to get money from my client and other parties. Said the Olson of the Associated Press Wednesday. And I'm just like, you built a fucking house on her land.
Yeah,
like, she's not exploiting anybody. You, like he even said, you
up,
made a mistake.
Yeah.
You said my client mistake. Yes, your client made a mistake. They built a $500,000 house on this person's land who did not want that $500,000 house. It's not on her to accept the land that you want to give her. It's not on her to be like, oh, no big deal. So I'm just like, listening to this lawyer be like, yeah, she's just trying to exploit. I mean, my poor client, like, your poor fucking client built a house where they shouldn't have. This is, you guys are trying to exploit her at the end of the day.
So is she getting the check from the house? I mean, there's another party involved that bought the house that's now
exactly.
They're in trouble.
There is somebody out there who's just like, I just want to move into my house.
Yeah.
And now I'm being told that some woman doesn't want my house there. Yeah. It's
a
mess.
Clearly this lady's like, she bought it in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
It's now.
Yeah.
It's been 5 years.
Yep.
6 years.
Yep.
Something like that. She's not in any hurry to move to Hawaii, which is odd that you would buy a property there and not
bought some land and then the pandemic happened. I could see that stalls you out of like, okay, I'm not going to go.
Yeah,
the
I guess so.
And
I guess
all that
so.
Stuff. You got to get things together. And
then,
like I said, so she was this. So last year is when this started, when she got the call.
Yeah.
So it was 2022. So it was 4 years. I imagine the pandemic set her for 3 of those years, shut down that. And then she probably had a year of like, okay, well, I got to get everything in order again.
Yeah.
And then, like, because it says she was like getting ready, like, okay, I'm now, what are we going to do with my land? And that's when the phone rang, like, hey, we sold the house. And she was like, what? So that's what I see it as.
I'd be like, where's my check?
Yeah. But yeah, so no, there's no resolution yet. It's all up in the courts. And I just found that insane. That, I mean, I get it, because that's what lawyers do. You're hired to do a job, even if whether you agree with it or not, it's your job. But the fact is, like, yeah, she's trying to exploit my client because they made a mistake and built a 500. I'm like,
yeah.
You just said it.
Yeah.
So whether you want to call it exploitation, which I don't see, as I just see it. She just wants what she's deserved. You built a fucking house on her land.
Move the house.
Yeah.
It's that moving a house is not as expensive as you would think. Well, I guess probably they don't do it a lot in Hawaii.
Yeah.
And getting the equipment to Hawaii is probably difficult. But
Yeah.
All
right. So now I got a couple headlines, and then we'll go to our last story. So our first headline, these are just headlines that just sound bizarre. So here's our first headline. It comes from AP News. And this is what it is. Don't sit on the bench. Jamal Mashburn talks about the importance of colon cancer screening.
Okay.
And I'm just like, what? I mean,
I'm getting to that age, man.
Oh, yeah. I just had my physical and I was there. And I was like, today the day? Today the day. My doctor's like, hey, you want to? I got the gloves. It didn't come up. I was glad, but I was like, I figure anything past 35 at any point, and then if you're a health conscious person, which I try to be, I'm just like, I'm not turning them down, but I definitely am not going to be the one to bring it up. My doctor will be the one to be like, hey, got the gloves. You want me to poke around in there?
That's like there was one day a couple of years ago where I went in for a haircut, and the lady just took the trimmers and just went right into the ears.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't even have to ask. He just knew. He's like, it's time. We got to start trimming the ear hair. Like, I didn't bring it up. I knew it was a problem. But she just like, she knows her job.
Yep. She knows her job. All right. Our other headline that I thought was just weird is children. This is also from AP News, coincidentally. Children race to collect marshmallows dropped from a helicopter in Detroit area park.
All right.
And I'm just like, feel like.
Was this an accident? This wasn't an accident.
Yeah. No, it sounds like it's intentional, but I'm just like, what is the celebration?
What holiday they got going on in Detroit?
What are we doing where marshmallows dropped from a helicopter? But it is the annual Great Marshmallow Drop, which is a thing in Detroit, apparently.
Awesome.
Nowhere else. And I want to know. What brought this along?
Do marshmallows biodegrade?
I don't know.
I'm not a marshmallow guy.
I've never.
I've eaten one, but I can't remember, and I'm not a fan. I would never go out and buy a marshmallow.
Yep.
I guess marshmallows come in cocoa every now and then.
Yeah, I'm okay if they're in cocoa. That's
but I
the
don't
place.
Want them there.
And then if I go somewhere and people are making s'mores, I might make a s'more.
Something about a marshmallow just seems like it might be made out of petroleum products of some sort that are not going to decompose like a normal foodstuff item would.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like a forever chemical that we're just deciding, some people are deciding to eat.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. And our last headline comes with a picture just because of how weird it looks. It is staff at Virginia Wildlife Center pretend to be red foxes as they care for orphan kits, which is what a baby fox is called. And then here's the picture.
I love this.
This is some horror sauce shit.
Yeah.
It's like a person wearing a fox head
Furries.
With a lab
Furries.
Coat
Did you
and
know?
Gloves
Did
on.
Did you know that there's a specific job out there for you?
Where you can dress up as a fox and everyone will be like, yeah, no, that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
It's the only way. I mean, like I said, they're animal professionals, they know way more than I, but part of me is like,
does it work?
Really
I've seen like people who have like gloves that are look like birds to feed
bird
baby
mouse.
Birds and I'm like, okay, I can see that working, but is a fox really gonna, I mean, you smell different
and all, like I said, in this picture they're just wearing the fox head, so they still have, like I said, besides the fox head, this is why it's slight horror sauce. It's a person in a lab coat with rubber gloves on. Like, I'll tell you one thing. If I was in a room and that came to the door, I'd be like, oh, fuck.
It's like, Donnell, it's time.
It's time. Time to check that colon. Get me out of here. Oh, man. all right. This is our last story because it's just interesting thought for me. World's oldest man says the secret to his longevity is luck plus regular fish and chips, which if you can't tell, this man's from England. But anyways, Englishman John Alfred Tennyswood, 111 years old, has been confirmed.
So I saw, I didn't read the article, but I saw that the oldest man was 111. Yeah. I'm like, really? Only 111? I thought we had somebody out there who was like 125 or something.
I mean, we probably did at one point. But that's the thing that's the thing. That's what I want to talk about.
Recently crowned. That's a sad story.
That's where I want to go. You're going exactly where it is. Because let me finish reading this paragraph, and then we're going to dig into that. So English man John Alfred Tenniswood has been confirmed as the world, or as the new holder of the title of Guinness World Record. It follows the death of Venezuelan record holder Juan Perez, who died at 114 a month ago. And would have been passed to.
Don't even.
It's a Japanese name. Yeah. I'm sorry, but he died a week prior at 112. And so that's my thing. Is like, yeah, they show up to give you this award. Yeah. And one is, you know, someone's died. Like the only way you get this. I mean, yeah, I guess. Like, yeah, no, the only way anyone gets this award going forward is the current guy has to die, because you're never gonna get older than him any other way. Yeah. So I'm like. And then the other thing, I'm just like, yeah, it's like, and then also it's just like, yeah, here's your reward. But it's also like if you get this award, I mean, of course, even if you don't have the award, you're like, once you get over 100, you know, like you're going to be punching a clock. You know? But really, when you get the award and they're like, hey, on the face of this planet, you are the oldest person. It's just like a daunting, like before you get the award, you're like, oh, I'm old. But, you know, I'm old. But then when they come knocking on your door and be like, hey, you are officially the oldest person on the planet. It's just like, I don't know, it seems a lot more like they write it as a celebratory. Like he has lived a long life and I'm proud for him, but there's just this dark connotation in my mind of just like, it is a little fucked up.
And you know, there's another guy right behind you that's just like, my time's coming.
Yeah. Unless, like I said, the Japanese dude who would have gotten this, who passed away the week prior, like, yeah, you thought your time was coming, but you didn't make it.
Yeah.
it's a weird competition to win is the way I look at it. Like, I just saw them, like, and when they started talking about how he got it, of, like I said, the guy from Venezuela dying at 114, I'm just like, yeah, if you're gunning for this award, like you said, you're just looking at the elder dude and like, come on, man, just die. Yeah. Just die.
I will say this. I don't like his fish and chip thing. That doesn't mean anything.
No, it doesn't.
But he's the only one that I've ever heard say the key, luck.
Yeah, no, I did anyone see that. Like, I love my, that.
There was like one of the oldest lady at one point was like, "It's I have a cigar every day."
Yeah, I have a cigar.
That's the key to it.
Or even like the ones like living a healthy life. Like, there's plenty of people who live healthy lives who don't make that old. Yeah.
It's literally just a roll of the dice.
A roll. Can you improve your odds? Sure, but that's just like gambling. Anything. You there are things you can do to improve your odds, but it's still always going to be luck.
Yeah.
Like, you can maybe get a little head start or whatever, but it's going to be luck. And yeah, so I did like that. I did like that. He was just like, that's luck. I'm like, thank you. Just saying it.
Boy, I don't want to live that long.
No.
I'll be honest with you.
No. I've told people regularly.
You know, I'm 41, and I'm just kind of like, no, am I 42 now? I don't know how old I am. 2024? I'll be 42 this year.
Okay. All right.
And I'm just like, they're like, oh, that's halfway. I'm like, fuck.
that
was a lot. Another round of that.
I've told people regularly, and like, if I like, I mean, I don't have a family or a kid, married or kids or anything. But I always said like, no. If Grandpa, when he hits 80, Grandpa's going to be getting weird because Grandpa. And then if Grandpa hits,
no reason we can't start getting weird now. Yeah. It's the end of the world, Donnell.
True, but then I also was like, and then also once Grandpa, and also like Grandpa's going to get weird, and he's just not going to care anymore. Like he's just going to say, but also like, and if Grandpa hits 85, 90, it's not just going to be Grandpa getting weird. Grandpa's going to be doing some crazy shit. Like you're gonna be like, you hear about my Grandpa? Like what? Oh, he drove a motorcycle over the over the Hoover Dam because Grandpa's trying to get out of here. Yeah. I'm like, get me the fuck out.
I'm going to be walking into doctor's offices with box masks and gloves being like, it's time. As always, you can find us on our website, watchingitpod.com. There you can find links to our social media and to email us, watchingitpodcast@gmail.com. Donnell, what else should they do?
Get
a colonoscopy. That's what they should do.
If you're over 35, get a colonoscopy.
If he wears a fox mask, get real
get a new doctor. Yeah. No, get a new doctor. If your doctor wears a fox mask when he comes to give you a call up, he's like, you know what? We're gonna rain check this. And I'm gonna get a new doctor. But anyways, give us any rain, reviews, 5 stars. Thank you so much for listening. Bye.